Let's make the food of this day so tasty that people hunger and thirst for more. What happens when you eat salty food? Speaking of which, you get so thirsty that you need more, you want more. You can't get enough. It's been my heart's desire. I know people who are voracious readers. I had a hard time learning to read as a kid. I don't read well, but when I get into something and I can turn the world off, I sort of lock in and I can't let it go. And I want so badly for the word to burn like that in me. I love the word. I get into it. It's great. It's fine. But I want just to wake up with, and I know people that are like this, their hunger is just like, I can't wait. I can't get enough. And they have Bibles everywhere. I have Bibles everywhere, but I don't have that hunger the way that some do. I want more. Why? Not because I want to read a book. I can read any book. It's because I want him. He's the word. He's not contained in letters on a page, but he's the word. He wants to speak to me through that word. And so, if we are to be salt, that word's supposed to leak out of us. How can it leak out of us if it's not in us? It leaks out of us when it's so right there that every time somebody needs an encouragement, you can say, hey, you know what the Bible says? This has been a passage that's always blessed me. Psalm 5:12 is one that my friend Jan has sort of placed in me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, and may his goodness surround you like a shield. That's a personalized version of what it says in Psalm 5:12. But it's such a beautiful proclamation. God surrounds you. His goodness surrounds you like a shield. So we're not only called to be salty in people's lives, but we're called to be a light. Called, and at that point in time, they had a visual because they had some hills in Israel that were cities that were on a hill. Not just Jerusalem. So you might just think that this is referring to Jerusalem, but there is actually one city that was so bright and so light and so on the top of the hill. It was a focal point for most of the countryside around because it could be seen from far away. So as people were traveling, they knew even if they traveled at night, they could get around because they could see. Just the way that sailors navigate by the stars at night, people who are traveling who don't understand that navigational signal, they could get there. You are the light of the world. You are the navigator for the people around you in their lives. Unless you are helping point them to Jesus, they're lost. And guess what? If you don't point them to Jesus, it means you're not turning in that direction, so you're lost. If you've ever sailed, I grew up sailing with my dad. I knew that if I was 1 degree off of true north, I was lost. Because from here to Long Island, at 1 degree is a big difference, you know, as we were sailing in the Long Island Sound. And yet, thankfully, I had to figure in wind, and I had to figure out, you know, what I had left in the gas tank to get me across if I needed to get across back to where we had a dock. You work in all these factors, and you can get back to where you started. But the reality is we need the presence of God, the full presence of God. So he said, listen, let's make it personal. You are a light. Don't put it under a bushel. Shine. What has God done for you today? Where can you say, you know, the Lord has blessed you, encouraged you? Now, maybe you're in a dark time in life. Like, if you look back to what we would look at about light and darkness, we might think about the Dark Ages. You know why the Dark Ages were called the Dark Ages? It's because we really don't know much about them. It was a dark time. Maybe it was, you know, the darkness of what was happening pandemically. You know, the plague and other things were going on during that time. It was a dark time politically because it was just so quiet and lots of barbaric things were happening. But we can find other places in history that we could say that was a dark age and that was a dark age. We just don't know enough about it. Well, Isn't that the same with you and I when we feel distant from God and we feel like there's darkness around us and we have more questions than we have answers? We feel like we're in a desert time. But we have to remember what he speaks in his word. And if we're present with him and we're seeking after him and his word is hidden in our heart, then there's no darkness because we're the light of the world. We can't hide it under a bushel. We have to sort of go, okay, I remember, Lord, when you saved me when I drowned. This is Dan's testimony. I remember when you put my parents' marriage back together. I remember when you gave a great report to my brother that he has no cancer in his body right now. Praise the Lord. I remember when I prayed over my kids and I trusted you to find them mates that would give them life and bring them hope and love you, Lord, more and first before they love them. Still waiting on a couple of mine, but one of them found that person I prayed for. Those are things that can remind me that, yeah, my bank account is pretty empty and my bills are high. Yeah, my stress level is high. Or, yeah, I probably feel like I'll never get to finishing my doctorate. Or, yeah, all those things that sort of the enemy tries to sprinkle around my ears so I might bite and let them take root in my mind. And then my mind goes crazy for a while. And I'm no longer any light because there's a bushel that's covering me up. Slowly, surely, purposefully hiding that light. So Paul will say to us in the epistle today, you got a well. You got a well that you can go to. You might be on the top, on the surface. You might not have the bucket that you think you need or the rope, but you've got a well, and right there, the wisdom of God is capable of speaking to you. I was talking to Bob Merrick this morning, and we were talking about the scene from Les Mis where he steals all the silver, and he gets caught, and the police bring him back, and the priest says, oh, you forgot the silverware, too. You know, in our life, if I could just have that wisdom to be able to show mercy and have a grace that changes a life, if that would be more important for me than actually being right and righteous and getting judgment. Like the priest could have just said, he's dirt, get him out of here, throw him in jail, let him hang. Instead, he's like, oh, you forgot the silverware too. Exonerating him of taking the other silver, but also placing in his heart such a mercy, such a beautiful mercy that changed his darkened heart. That's who we should be. You heard me say a few weeks ago, Kristen and I went to see It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. We're going to watch that during Holy Week this year because it made such a strong impression on me, and I pray it will speak to you. But here's Mr. Rogers. And to Mr. Rogers, the most important person was the person in front of them. To Mr. Rogers, that was his theology. Jesus addressed the woman at the well, and he told her the truth. Jesus addressed the blind man. He wasn't just addressing his physical issues, but his spiritual issues. Jesus addressed the friends that lowered their friend down through the roof. So which is it harder? Is it harder to forgive sins or say, pick up your mat and walk? He has power. He has wisdom that we can tap into if we'd be willing to say, Lord, all of this is just smoke and mirrors. And all I want to do is be in your house. And he reminds us, Dan, my house is not St. Luke's. My house isn't Notre Dame or a monk's hovel in Ireland. My house is right there inside of you. Go shine. Go shine. St. Luke's, we're going to do damage. We're going to do damage to Akron and Copley and Medina and Cleveland, for that matter, for whatever's going to go on in this area. It may detonate so people write books about it. It may detonate so it creates a ripple, and it's just a constant effect on all the lives around us. I don't care. It's not about the books. It's about God being the one who gets the glory for what gets done. But it starts with you and me. It starts with a reminder. You can't have to trip over it. That's why Bishop John said, you need to put this match somewhere. He's challenging us to take this matchstick and put it somewhere where we see it every moment of every day so that we know that's our job. Not a, well, if I get time. Not a, oh, if I feel like it. Well, I might get a better offer. There's no better offer. Because when you shine your light, then you open up your perspective to see God working in somebody else, and you get more back. So when you pour your gold out and your silver to those who have stolen from you, and you realize that they are transformed, and not only do they give you your silver back, or they give it, pay it forward to somebody else, or whatever they do with it, you know that that transformed life is now going to transform lives. And you're encouraged. That's why wisdom is turned upside down. The wisdom of the world is not God's wisdom. God's wisdom takes and transforms our perspective and gives new life where there is no life. Just like a match lit in the darkness. Have you ever been in complete darkness? When you light a match, or you, even when your watch or your phone go off, all of a sudden everything around you comes within perspective, because you just a little bit of light creates enough to be able to give you vision. Friend of mine, I have a first century one in my office. What did I do with my water? Over here. In my office, I have a little lamp. About the time of Jesus, these lamps were used, and would be filled with oil, and a little reed would hang out the front of it. And the reed would be lit, but the reed wouldn't burn all the way down, because the reed was soaked with the oil. And the oil would, just like a kerosene lamp, would give them light. And my friend, who's an antiquities guy, handed it to me in his office, and he said, say these words for me. And he hands me the psalm, and he's, you are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. With a first century light, not a LED, not a high beam, not something with super halogen blue lights that can penetrate skin, but just a lamp in the first century, it was enough to see, enough to give you perspective, enough to change the course of where you were walking so you could make that next step. So when God is asking you to be salt, and not lose your saltiness, to be a city on a hill, to be a light to those that are around you, he's not asking you to do much more than you can handle. But it has the effect to change lives, because once that life is changed, the ripple effect goes out. So I asked you a question at the beginning of the sermon today, and I said, what do you want to see in the land of the living? I want to see the body of Christ so in God's presence that people come to watch us burn. That the light that we shine is so devastating that the world has to come and become a part of it. And that's as simple as you and I just bringing God's already revelation that he's given you to the rest of the world. God wants you to say what you already know, not make it up. Don't make it up. It's part of why I stopped for a teaching moment earlier, is because sometimes when I sat and I listened to charismatics, you know, say, well, God said, or this is what I'm feeling, and I used to go, they're making that up. That's just conjecture, or that, you know, they had, you know, some chili with their scrambled eggs this morning. You know, that's their stomach talking to them, because it just doesn't sound right. Instead, I started this posture of, Lord, they got something that I don't have. I want it, and I want you to speak to me. There's something more for me. And so I ask for forgiveness for the ways in which I've rejected it so that I could get more fully into your presence so that whatever they're saying, their flesh would fall away and your word would speak to me. So, Father, that's our prayer today. Would you help us to be salt and light to a world that needs you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.